Well, so good to be with you. Thank you, Janine, for that. I never heard that song in my life. I wish I knew it so then I could be singing it. You've got the words.
I'll Google it.
But yes, lovely to be back with you. There's many familiar faces. And as Julia mentioned, we do have a City Women Breakfast coming up because this year we turned 20. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for Rangeville, I don't think City Women ever would have happened, because it was my relationship with Val Reitis and our connection, God-given connection, that brought us together. And then just the backing of this church and many of you women around here. I was thinking of Lorraine and her cookbook. I mean, that was just monumental in those early days at releasing funds, something like $17,000. I never knew what to do with that much money in my life, that we could put into helping the oppressed, the poor, the broken in our city.
And we look, got I'm to have coffee.
Don't want to get too carried away with names because I see so many faces that have been involved, still are involved, probably wondering what the heck are we still doing. But great. By God's grace, we're still here. And it was really a vision 20 years ago of how could we work together as women across the churches. Isn't that a good God-given idea? And I love women. I mean, last Wednesday morning I was having coffee with seven women from different churches because we've been asked to help support women in the courts going through DV. And I love it. We sit down and, you know, one woman from Church of Christ, you know, we've got this, and the other woman, we've got a truck, and then we've got, you know, women just bring to the table what their church's resources are. And then suddenly, together, we're able to tell our Domestic Violence Action Centre that we can do some things. But if we were doing it alone, we have nothing. I always tell pastors when I speak around this Australia, all the resources to reach your city are in the body of Christ.
That's right. Mm.
You've just got to help the hand find the leg and the ear find the nose and the kidney find the heart, and then suddenly things begin to happen. Mm. I mean, we can still do a few nice things on our own, but you're only one part of the body. Mm-hmm. So it's been this amazing vision for many, many years. So, look, we're just going to be doing a little breakfast. It's not going to be some big shebang thing, but we just felt like it'd be good to acknowledge what God's done in the past, in the present, and does he still have some stuff for us in the future? Mm-hmm. Well, that's up to us, isn't it? So we will see. But Debbie and Jess, a lot of you know Debbie Dodds, and she's still, her and Jess, they kind of more or less lead City Women now, because I spend a lot of my time while travelling, but in the nation of Fiji, where we lived there when I was 15, and I went to school there. I went to an all-girls Fijian school, the only white face, with all these beautiful brown faces looking at me. And it's amazing how God knows what he's doing. Isn't it? Like, it's funny. But back then I remembered when Dad said we're moving to Fiji, I'm like, I don't want to. I've got all my friends. I was 15, you know, it was the height of coolness. Yeah. We had to go and live in this other culture, and the place smelt, and, you know, people give you big sloppy kisses, and it was just different. And then they put me in this school with all these Fijians, but it ended up being the best year of my life. And then now God has reconnected me with so many of those girls that I sat in school with. So we've started something similar to City Women in Fiji, where women from different churches are working together. We have a team that are on the streets with the prostitutes. We have teams that are running our Bella course in the schools over there. We've started our camps there as well. We've just started a pro-life ministry. Also, I'm on a committee with the government to ban pornography for children, and that's because of the Minister for Women. I went to school with her, so that's my link there. And then I'm working with the biggest television company over there, and every Sunday night, prime time, 6 o'clock every Sunday night, we get to produce a show telling stories of women who've been abused, giving them a voice, because it's a nation where their domestic violence is through the roof. 2 out of 3 women go through abuse or rape of some sort. 4 out of 5 children are abused. So, sorry, I've just ruined all your Fiji holidays forever. We all, and they're beautiful, lovely people, but there is so much pain underneath. So for now, that's where I feel like God has me sharing a lot of my attention. So a year ago, I think it's probably a bit more than a year ago, at the beginning of last year, I stood here and announced something. I think you were the first group that I told that I was going to cycle across America in 2025, because I tend to get these ideas and then I think I better tell people because then it becomes too easy to back out. Did I know if I could do it? I don't know. But actually, in 1 month's time, I get on the plane and I go to America. At Christmas time, my brother Lyle said, "So when you sign up to do this ride, did you know if you could do it?" And I said, "No." I said, "You sign up and then you work yourself back to what do I need to do?" And I remember when they interviewed me, because they interview you they want to make sure you're just not one of these, you know, people who cycle with a basket and
your lunch.
They want to know that you were a fair dinkum cyclist, and they asked a lot of questions, and then they said the training will be very extensive. And I was like, yes, no, that'll be fine. But I had no idea. So this morning, my alarm went off at 3:45. I had breakfast, because you've got to fuel the body, oats and coffee. Then I rode for 3 hours in the rain this morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was not enjoyable, and quickly got in at so I left home at 4:30 and got in at 7:30 and showered and got myself along here. So at the moment it's about 30 hours on the bike riding 600 kilometres a week for my training, because my American ride is 6,000 kilometres. So I'm starting in Portland, Oregon. I should have brought my picture to put on the slide, but and I'm riding across, and we go over this little mountain called the Rocky Mountains. So when you're talking about your legs burning, and then we go down. There's quite a few mountains. There's a lot of climbing. So I'm doing endurance training at the moment. So, yeah, it's good. It's a good experience. I was telling one of the ladies, Marnie, about my... So I had to get a nutritionist. I've had to change the whole way I eat. You know, because actually, do you know food actually fuels your body?
Yeah.
It's like putting petrol in the car. And when you don't do that, you quickly conk out. So now I've had to learn how to cook properly, prepare meals. It's a real pain. I feel like this real grown-up woman. My shopping, I used to just do my shopping with a basket. Now I have a trolley that gets very full. So I've had to learn a lot of things. But why? Am I doing this, you ask? Good question. So it's 6,000 kilometres for 6 weeks, about 140 k's a day. There's a couple of days that are 200 k's. And we get 4 rest days over 6 weeks. So that's nice, isn't it? They're very generous. But, man, such a great way.
How many seats along the way? To rest on.
How many seats?
Well, they've just done the bike path out.
Yeah,
here.
I know, they don't do that.
Have you seen all
the
seats?
Yes, no, they've actually told us, we've got an email telling us you won't be able to stop and take too many photos because you've got to keep moving.
Oh,
so I bought a little GoPro to stick on my bike that I can press a button in. But they'll have a photographer as well. So I'm with 24 people. I'm the only one from Australia. And there's 2 people from England and the rest are Americans. Are there any Americans here? I was hoping there would be a few more people from England coming.
One English one.
Yes, good. Americans,
I'll think about
can be
you.
Fun sometimes. There's 8 women in the team, and we've been on a group chat, and all the women are discussing the creams they will use on their bottom. It's a big discussion. And I'm like, oh, goodness. You know. I said, you ladies are too serious. And so I just said, look, I'm from Australia, and I'll be using Vegemite on my bottom.
Not a good idea.
So I was waiting for them, you know, and the Americans, because they
don't get it.
But the English lady, her email, you're so funny. And she got it straight away. The Americans are probably going, what is that? So they're going to be sorry that I lived in America, so I don't know how to tease them. Anyway, it'll be fun. But the reason why is raising funds. So my work in Fiji, a big part of my calling has been to, and this is what City Women has been about, is giving voice to the pain in our city. Isn't it? Understanding the suffering. We're actually called to heal our cities. And there is immense pain. Immense pain, even in the churches. Mm. And I love the book of Lamentations because it's a whole book in the Bible that gives voice to the suffering of a city. Mm. You know, and there's no little knot. You know, we always go, oh, but God will cause all things to work together. You know, we always want to put a nice little bow on the end of it, don't we? But Lamentations, I mean, it's just such a sad book of mothers eating babies, of people killing one another. I mean, it's the destruction of a city, which Jesus wept over. And so being able to listen and hear what were the hands and feet of Jesus, but were also the ears. And so listening is actually a missional act, listening to the suffering and the pain. And that's a lot of what we've done through City Women over the years. And in Fiji, in a nation where you don't talk about your issues, you always pretend you're happy. So I began to realise, man, there's so many abuse women who've been abused. So I wrote a book called The Destructive Voices of Pacific Women, and 10 women shared their stories. And you know what? When a few women speak up, that gives courage to others. So now, because I started a podcast, hundreds of women have spoken up, and healing comes as you begin to speak and realise I'm not the only one, and it brings light and it destroys the work of the darkness. And then men started asking, well, where do we share our story? Because if you've got 4 out of 5 children who are abused, there's a lot of little boys that have been abused. I mean, it's just generational. So I did a book, The Destructive Voices of Pacific Men, again, which was very unusual. And my good friend runs Lifeline in Fiji, where you can just call to get help. And he said, when you released that book, we had so many more men calling up for help. Because suddenly we're showing it's okay as men to share your stories. These things that we've hidden. I mean, and the church covers up. The church just puts on such a fake. Fake, and let's pretend we're all doing well. And then I began to engage with the sex workers because, you know, we've done a lot here with the sex workers in Toowoomba, and the ones over there, they're on the streets. And so I interviewed 18 of them, and last year we released a book called The Ones Jesus Loves. 18 stories of these sex workers who began between the ages of 12 and 18, not because, you know, they decided this is going to be a great life career, but because of poverty, because of abuse, because of abandonment. You just find yourself on the street making quick money, especially when you're in poverty, I can understand. And the church is judging them and driving past and telling them they're going to hell. And so we've engaged with them, and we did kind of a City Women event to launch the book in Suva last year. And I asked 3 of the women, I said, would you just come and read your story? Like, it'll be so much better if you, rather than me having to do it or whatever. And I'd gone, there's a safe house where a lot of them hang out, and I'd gone on the Sunday afternoon before the meeting and said, you know, would you come and try that? Because they were very nervous to come into a room full of Christians, because all they've known is judgment. Isn't that awful? Anyway, so I helped walk them through it, and that night we had over 100 Christian women turn up. And right before we started, 15 of the sex workers walked in and sat right in the front row. I couldn't believe it, you know. And they're all a bit odd, and, you know, they don't look glamorous like ours. And I just stood up and said, you ladies are our guest of honour.
Beautiful.
They're our guest of honour. And they began to weep. And then the 3 women got up and read their stories. I mean, we all wept because they're all there, not out of choice, but out of, no, you know. And I just went home that night. And generally you get to share your story when you've kind of come through on the other side, don't you? Like, oh, I grew up in poverty and then this and then, you know, I got in the Australian Olympic team and now look at me and we all applaud. And we're just so excited. Well, no, these women are sharing their story and they're still out on the street the next night. But we still honoured them, not because of what they do, but because of who they are. Because every life has value, beauty and purpose, every life. And so much healing. I mean, we all wept that night, but then I love that, because I wanted to disrupt the religious spirit of the Christians and humanise these beautiful women. And I wanted us to sit and listen to the suffering and have some empathy so we might actually go and help them. And now we do have teams out on the street regularly. And so it was just one of them. I mean, they're the church services I love being at. Mm-hmm. I get a bit bored of some of the long preaching ones. Am I allowed to say that?
Yes.
As a preacher yourself, you're quite entitled.
I know. But I love the ones where, man, you just see God. And these ones, yeah, just the healing. So then for the last year, so when I announced to you I'm going to ride across America and we're going to write this book, well, I had no idea if we could do it and what was going to happen. But I wanted to do a book, and this one is called Sex, Dating and Relationships. Because they don't talk about these topics, and no one's teaching them. I mean, even though they go to church, what is the purpose of sex? Why did God say marriage? So in Fiji, their teen pregnancy rate is 5 times higher than Australia's. 5 times higher for such a little nation. Every week 47 people get HIV/AIDS. Drugs has risen 94% in the last year. I mean, it's a nation that's in trauma. They're all falling apart. No one's talking about anything, but we can look lovely on Sundays. Yes, I'm glad you asked, Janine, because I've just started, now that I've finished this book, I've just started our next book, and it's Stories of Abortion, because abortion is illegal. But I did a podcast with a woman last week, a Fijian woman who's had 9 abortions. She got pregnant at 17, and a father, who's a pastor, put her in an arranged marriage with another man who was 10 years older than her, that was highly abusive. Then she got out of that marriage and into another relationship and had, something like 7 abortions in 2 years. Like, it was, she's encountered Jesus now, but, you know. We're calling that one the silent cry. But this one, sex, dating and relationships. So talking of just good practical teaching. Like, we can walk into Coorong, and maybe you have, and you'll see 27 of these books by white people for white people. Like, there's books on relationships and everything and all these things. And because I was a youth pastor for many years, I've read a lot of them and helped our young people and given them to them to you. And there's resources for the parents and the grandparents. We're resourced out the wazoo. Well, in Fiji, there's nothing. This is the first ever book by Fijians for Fijians. Which I love. So I managed to work with 25 local leaders, male and female, young and old, pastors, doctors. I've got a doctor friend who wrote What to Do If You're Pregnant. and it's okay. You don't need to get an abortion. There's help, there's support, but here's to know if you're pregnant. Just really, really basic things. We've got a chapter on what is rape as well. Because, again, they don't always know, and so it just breaks it down. Like, you've been raped if you said no, but then he kept harassing you to say yes, well, that's rape. That's not consent. Or if you said no to doing something particular and he ignored you. Like, it just goes through all the different scenarios, which I've sat with a lawyer in Fiji, and they've said, yes, these are all illegal. And so one Fijian woman, because I was there in March, I gave her the book. She's 29. And the next day she said, I read the whole book last night. And I said, well, what was your favourite chapter? She said, well, it wasn't really my favourite, but the rape chapter. She said, I realised every sexual encounter I've had in my life has been rape. And she said, where was this book when I was 15? Where was it? Now, she's rejoicing with me that it's here now. Now, that wasn't, but she's just like, if I had had that knowledge, because knowledge is power, isn't it?
Yeah.
Knowledge is power. And you grow up, especially in these religious cultures where you're taught that, well, once you're married, you submit and your body belongs to him. And so much rape happens in our marriage. because of the lot, you know, because of our spiritual abuse. Mm-hmm. And so it's helping educate and set a nation, set the women and the men. I mean, the men will be set free too when they understand God's plan and purpose. So we have a chapter on what does healthy relationships look like, how to break up well. Because how many go from, you know, break up and then we're on to Johnny because he's the next cutest, you know, we rebound. And that's where this woman with the 9 abortions, you know, just got herself in big trouble. Because we don't heal. We've got a chapter on healing before we get into a relationship because most people have been abused, so the importance. So every chapter kind of has some how-tos, then with a story, which I love. The stories are powerful. And then podcasts as well. So there's QR codes at the end of every chapter for the ones who don't like to read, the boys who just want to listen to a podcast. And I, yeah, have been recording and filming those the whole of last year. And they've had millions of views already. Just huge, because everyone wants to know, don't they? So my goal is to raise $50,000 so we can print 10,000 of these and just give them out. I don't want to have to, you know, go, oh, you've got to pay me $10, you know, these poor people, and get it out across the nation. And because of the relationships I've built, I've already talked to the head of the Methodist Church, the head of AOG, the Salvation Army, the SDAs, how we can just get this out, not just give it out, but actually come and do some workshops and seminars, and local people share their stories. Yeah, so that's what I'm doing. I wonder if I've, just let me look at my, if I've shared everything here that I wanted to. Yeah, I think I've really been challenged this year, as I said before, by a woman. She's a Christian psychologist, Diane Langberg. She's in her 70s. And she says, trauma is the mission field of the 21st century. Hmm. You know, and I'm sure if we went around this, we'd all have stories. I mean, you can't have a room full of beautiful silver heads without some deep pain, hey? And trauma, and some has been healed, some hasn't. So even for me, you know, I'm still walking through some things, and my hair's, well, I cover up my grays. I always tell Evan, he looks older than me, and he's like, well, if I dyed my hair. So the challenge is, how do we heal? You know, and the church is really good at preaching about the sin, but not the suffering. And a great example of, I was speaking at my school actually in Fiji. I go back there regularly, and they ask me, because they've got a big issue with teenage pregnancy, and they said, you've got to come and tell the girls to stop having sex. I know, because everything's, you know, fear. Oh my gosh, because we can't, you know, community can't know that ACS girls are getting pregnant, and so come and tell them to stop. Anyway, I said, sure, but in my head I'm like, no. I did a big presentation on why God said within marriage, why? So they understand, because when you tell young people, don't, they do. But if you help them understand why we don't touch the oven when it's on, because if you say, don't touch the oven, oh, what's wrong with you? And so I was speaking at this, at my school, which is, very big. They'd given me all the year 12 girls, about 300 of them. And because I'm 50, I just turned 50, and obviously I've never married. I'm still a virgin because I understand the purpose of sex. I understand. I was trained why? Well. And so because of that, then I don't carry, you know, it's just, that's my story. Because the purpose. Anyway, so I was going through the purpose with the girls, and at the end this girl came up to me and said, oh, my mum's passed away and I'm living with my dad, who just does not love me. He's rejected me. But I'm dating Johnny. He loves me. And he said, well, this is what we do. We have sex. She said, I don't want to, though, but I'm afraid if I say no, you know. So there's obviously some suffering in her life from her mother and, you know, rejection from her father, that if we can help heal and address, that fixes the Johnny problem, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I always tell my dad the reason why I'm single is because he's loved me so well. I know that I'm loved by the men in my life, by the men in my family, and by my Heavenly Father, so I don't care if Johnny, you know. I'm just not going, love me, love me, love me, love me, to the whole world. And so when we begin to bring in the healing, that helps address, hey, the issues. But so often we're preaching, don't do this, and you're evil if you do that. And not, maybe not so much here, but in Fiji, love to preach that way. And they shout really loud into the microphone for a long time, I think. They must think you're more anointed if you can spit and shout. The microphone's distorted, so you can't hear a thing you're saying. Oh, bless them. There's actually research done on churches where the pastor yells. He's normalising abuse. Did you know that? So perpetrators go to churches where the pastor's yelling and shouting, because then that gives the husband permission to yell and shout. Because not pastor. Peter does. Now, that's, you know, habitually. Every now and then my voice gets a little bit loud too. So how do we heal? Hey, how do we bring healing to Toowoomba? How do we listen to the pain? How do we, yeah, if trauma is the mission field of the 21st century, how do we, the church, be the ears of Jesus and the voice, hey? So, look, I think I'll end there with that. But thank you. Just thank you, ladies. And I was telling my friend yesterday, I'm going to Word Cafe. She's like, huh? They're still going? Yes, yeah. You are. And so thank you for your faithfulness, because 20 years ago when City Women started, I remember coming to St Mark's where you met and speaking there. And you've just been an incredible support to me all these years, your prayers, your love. And this morning I just felt like I'm coming home. I don't remember everyone's names, but a lot of you I've journeyed with for many years. So thank you so much. I greatly, greatly appreciate you all. So can I pray for you? Yeah, Jesus, do thank you for these women. God, thank you for their faithfulness. And, yep, for the journey that they've walked through, the pain that they've endured, God, the trauma, Lord, just even maybe the suffering that they're still living with. Jesus, yeah, life, even walking with you, is not always amazing. God, it's challenging. Things don't turn out. Things that we prayed for don't always come about, but God, you are faithful. And as we remain faithfully with you, God, and continue to walk with you somehow, we get through each day and we have a story to share with those who are younger, with these mothers over here. And I know these mothers sitting here will look at this group and go, if they've done it, I can do it. And these women before me are just a great example of walking faithfully with you through the ups and the downs. And Lord, where there needs to be healing, God, would you bring healing into their hearts? Where there's brokenness, bring wholeness. Jesus, where we've maybe been silenced with our story, give us somebody that we can share to. God, because all these issues aren't in Fiji. They're right here in our homes as well. And so I pray that you just continue to bless the women of Word Cafe in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, and God bless you. If I do have a few copies, yes, these are $10. So I know, yes, even though they're for Fiji, they're still good for white people. Remember, the Fijians had to learn from the white people. it's scriptural based. So, yeah,
can I ask a question?
Yes.
Good. What is the group that you're cycling with? Are they all raising money?
No.
No. What are they doing?
No, they are just rich people with a lot of money, who are retired lives. Generally, that's the type of people who do these. So it's a trek travel group. So I just kind of Googled, you know, these cycles across America. And joined, signed up. So, yes, they've got no idea that I'm coming and this is my cause. I think some of them are cycling for causes as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but generally these people have lots of money and just time to ride.
And how will you raise money while doing it, or is it only sponsored by people here?
I have a website. So, look, I've run a Social media is a great cause of many issues, but it's a brilliant weapon in the hands of the righteous. So to this day, I've raised $16,500. So over a year ago, you women were the first women to give. You were the first people who sowed a seed. And when I turned 50, everyone gave towards that. And so I drive it all through social media, more or less, because most of the world is on there.
Yeah.
And I have 37,000 followers on my Facebook page, so it gives me an amazing reach to be able to communicate.
Is there any way for you to raise money while doing it?
Yes, I will be. Every day I'll be posting, and here's the link to donate. And just ask Selena. She spent hours setting up the website and nearly killed herself. yeah.
Yes. So is your book both in English and in Fijian?
Not yet, no. But the majority of young people, they speak English, definitely, and they're all attached to a global world and a porn industry on this. So in 3 months, it came out a couple of years ago, that in 3 months the nation of Fiji had watched 626 terabytes of porn.
Oh,
now, who knows how much that
yeah,
is?
Yeah, a huge amount.
Well, it's 100 million books of data in 3 months, a nation that's not even a million. Because they don't talk, and they've all got access. This is, I mean, thankfully the government are beginning to realise. So, yes, it's destroying the nation everywhere.
Did you get the latest one from Melinda about the 400-plus gaming sites on rape, sexual torture, incest and child sexual abuse-themed games removed from Steam gaming platform?
Yeah. That's our good friend Melinda Tankard-Reist, who runs an organisation that's, very proactive.
Could you repeat that, Letitia?
It was just news that Collective Shout have been lobbying. There's a gaming platform called Steam that have a lot of games that are about rape and incest and violence, so they've just got 400 games removed off this platform, which is amazing.
It's fantastic.
Letitia, what is your Facebook address?
Letitia Shelton.
That's
Look, I have a private one which has 5,000 and my public has 37,000. So go to my, well, both of them. Letitia Shelton. That's how you spell my name over there. And you can like me and follow me. No. Any other? Fantastic. Well, God bless you.
I think that does deserve a round of applause. The
world needs a father. So they're beginning to run that out through their churches and across the city. And again, it's really a healing course, helping them heal from their trauma and issues, but helping them be the father, whether they're a father or meant to be. There's another pastor that does a lot of work with young teenage boys. So wherever, because I do get invited to speak a lot. Must be because I'm white or something. But I always make sure I take a local person. Like, I just never go by myself. It's not about me. So if I'm going with the boys, you know, I bring one of these pastors and you'll see their faces. So there's some great kingdom-minded men who live according to the Bible, not Fijian patriarchal culture. And they're really, making some good headroads. And then I work, actually probably do more work with the men over there than the women because I agree. And this book, yes, that's why I made sure it got a lot of male voices in there.
There's been a breakdown in the family relationships. You know, I mean, we found that was serious fun.
Yeah.
So many of them, kids had different fathers, you know.
Absolutely.
So the family breakdown.
It's huge.
They're not seeing a loving family.
No.
So it's not modelled like you said.
Yeah.
You had a loving dad.
Yeah.
Some kids would never know what that was.
Yeah, I do. Still do. Yeah. Still alive.
Yes. Yes, you have.
Absolutely. And you can't be what you can't see.
Yeah.
And because it's generational, they grow up thinking, oh, this is how a woman's treated.
Mm.
And so, yeah. That's why I'm just so keen to, we've got to help heal. Stop. Just preaching for hours, please. Preaching for hours would save the day. Fiji would have been saved. Can I tell you this last little fact? because my dad does a lot of reading on Fiji history. And one of the most well-known missionaries, John Hunt, sailed from England to Fiji many years ago. He was very instrumental in bringing Fiji to the Lord. He sailed on a boat called the Letitia. Spelt the same way. And then the boat dropped him off at Fiji, and then it went back to England to pick up a printing press so that they could then bring it back to Fiji and begin to print material.
Oh, that's prophetic.
Because, again, just like the bike ride, about 4 years ago, God just said to me, start going to Fiji. And I remember Debbie Dodd saying, so what are you going to do there? And I was like, I don't exactly know. I know some people and I'm just going to go find out what's happening. Because you just say yes and then you work out, don't you, along the way. You say yes to the 6,000-kilometre bike ride and then you work out. And then you think you're stupid. anyway, blessings.
Well, I have been present with the Letitia at meetings and things where somebody has come up with an idea and the Letitia has said, well, you go with it. And you go with it. You start finding the people that seem the same as you do and you start something. Isn't that right, Letitia? Letitia's not the be-all and end-all. She's pretty close, but she's not the be-all and end-all. She challenges us all to do something, and we can all do something. Any one of you feel a real, real desire to pray for Letitia? Right now, I mean. Come on, Marlene. Or, yep, you two ladies, come on. I could do it, but, you know.
Yep.
I like to see you get off your bums. Sorry, ladies, I know some of you would love to be able to do that and it's too hard. Come on, girls. You need to go?
Oh, I thought just putting my hand up.
Well, you can put your hand up, but you can pray for her or you can...
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard the words shared today, and your heart must ache too. So, Father God, we pray that you, as Letitia goes out on this amazing missionary service in your name, that you will put a hedge around her of great protection and that she will be a wonderful witness to everyone she encounters. And may that the words that she's shared and the teaching that she's done will not fall on the wayside, but, Father, it will just grow and grow and grow. And Father, Lord, we just thank you for beautiful women like Letitia that step out in faith and do a good work for you, Father God, in your name. Oh, thank you, dear Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you will go ahead of her. You will make the path straight. Sorry, ladies, I get a bit emotional. Make the path straight. And keep her safe. And may she have good fellowship as well on these journeys. There'll be no accidents. And she'll just have a wonderful, safe time and sweet fellowship with fellow Christians and a witness to those who don't yet know you. So, Lord, we just hold her up to you now in Jesus' name and pray all good things on her life. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Father God, we thank you for this awesome weapon that you have placed amongst us and the people of Fiji. Lord, I pray that your glory would shine so brightly on her that the people that you want to reach would be attracted to her to hear what she has to say, and that her voice would pierce hearts and minds with your truth, Lord, that lives would be turned over, that men would fall on their knees and beg for your mercy, that hearts would be drawn to you, because of this mighty weapon, Lord. We just pray and thank you for her faithfulness. Yes. We pray for her safety. We pray for the angels that are guarding her, Lord, that you would give them strength, that you would keep her feet from stumbling and protect her from any thought of the enemy, Lord. We just thank you that she is so obedient to your call.
Yes.
And we bless her mightily in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Okay, please remember all of those things that these two ladies have prayed for, because I want now to bless Letitia. Mm. In the name of Jesus and in his authority, that God does all of those things. We bless you, Letitia,
yes,
with protection, with your bite working as it's meant to, the Vegemite working as it's meant to as well. That's brilliant. That the Lord gives you strength, resilience, health, the nutrition that you need. We bless you with everything that God knows that you need, even if you don't know yet and we don't know, but that everything will be provided by his grace, his goodness, his faithfulness. We bless you with all of that, and we bless the seeds that you will sow across those 6,000 Ks as well, because they will be sown as you are salt and light for him. So every blessing from us, but more so from the Lord of life, as you set out on this wonderful journey. And mind you, the blessing doesn't stop with you and those seeds, but also with all of Fiji.
Yes.
Thank you, Father, for this blessing for our dear friend, colleague, or adventurer,
yes,
Letitia.
Thank you, Lord.
Be with it. Yes. Thank you, ladies. Well, I think we've probably nearly run out of time, but I think I'd like to ask Judy what's on next week.
I'm going to get her up completely.
Got you there. Next week we have Nola Passmore, and she has just had a book launch here last term, and but she's going to be sharing what God's doing in her life, so it won't be about her book, but should be really good. So yeah, that's next week, so back on deck next week.